girl, welcome to the Empower Her podcast, where we are all about taking purpose-driven action toward building lives we really freaking love. My name's Keisha, and I'm an entrepreneur obsessed with giving you actual tools to help take you from where you are now to where you want to go in your life, career, and relationships. And this podcast, it's all about real talk and having some fun as we share incredible stories, tips, and tricks to help us get out of our own way and unapologetically make some moves. So girlfriend, let's do the damn thing. Girl, I'm so excited that you're here for today's episode. We've got such a juicy combo that I think it's not only going to give you some like really tactical tools to help you build up your confidence, call your shot, find your people, like your community, but also really step into your potential. Like this episode is for you if you've got that gut feeling that you want more, but maybe you don't know exactly what that more is, but at the same time, you just feel this like something's brewing. You know what I mean? Like I often describe this, like if you were a boiling pot of water, like sitting on the stove, it's like you're bubbling up and like the lid is kind of popping off, but you're like, I know there's something, but I don't really know exactly what it is. You're going to love this episode. You're going to be laughing at some really epic stories that we talk about. And you're also going to feel really freaking inspired because on the show today, we have Marina Middleton, and she went from attending Create and Cultivate, the different conferences that they put on, which if you're not familiar with Create and Cultivate, it's one of the largest women's organizations, like one of the OG for professional development type events. And now she's actually the CEO and a partial owner of the company. And in this episode, we talk a lot about anxiety, imposter syndrome, how uncomfortable it can feel when you outgrow different communities or friendships or rooms that you're in, and really how to seek new opportunities that align with your goals and the direction that you want to go. I think you're going to love how honest this is. It's just like a really refreshing, raw conversation. So I cannot wait to hear what you think. As always, if you vibe with this episode, I so appreciate if you share it on Instagram stories and tag me at Keisha Get Mary, but also for this episode, tag Marina at Marina Middleton, because I know she's going to love hearing how impactful her story was for you too. So without further ado, let's dive right in. Marina, girlfriend, I am so freaking excited to have you. Welcome to the show, babe.
Oh my God. Thank you so much for having me. Also, can we talk about this as a full circle moment? Because the last time we were on a call together on a Zoom call, you were helping me launch the She Did It Anyway podcast.
So wild.
It's wild because that was only 2 years ago, a year ago, not even. It wasn't even 2 years ago. It was last year.
Yeah. It's so crazy to see the evolution, and I'm so excited to get to reconnect with you on a personal note, but also in particular to share a conversation like we're going to have today on the show, because there are so many women, as you know, that listen into this podcast that they want to call their shot on something big, or they feel like they've got this like gut feeling that they're meant to do something bigger, but they don't know what the hell that is or how the dots will all connect. And I feel like recently you've had a major evolution from a career perspective. And of course, we're going to talk about all of like the messy feelings that go with that. But tell everyone listening in what you do now and how the hell this all came to be, because I'm so freaking proud of you and so excited for you and just so like pumped to like get into the juice of it. So tell them everything.
Yeah, it's actually crazy. And I think sometimes we want this like perfect plan or like tell me this exact step. And it really was just wild to get here. And I think that there's going to be twofold. So one, I am now the CEO of Create and Cultivate. I'm also one of the owners of Create and Cultivate. And if you don't know what Create and Cultivate is, it is the largest network for working women. We're known for our large scale events. We've had Martha Stewart speak, Kim Kardashian speak. I mean, some massive, massive names. And it's all really like a platform where women go to connect, learn, and grow. And now we support them from launch to legacy, whether they're like ideating or exiting. And so it's a really amazing platform and a community that I have been obsessed with for years. Yeah. My background is in marketing. And so I used to work at Yahoo News, and Tumblr. And then I got laid off in 2019. And, you know, if anybody's listening, like if they just feel like, oh, like another like hit or blow, it's yeah. Like now I have to start all over again. But like for me, and I think maybe just like me being an immigrant and coming here, like with my parents, I felt like I've always kind of like had to change and shift and pivot. And so getting laid off sucked, but I was like, okay, well, like what do I do now? And I remember Googling like becoming an entrepreneur, like community, women's community, and Create and Cultivate came up. And that was kind of my introduction to this whole other world. And so, you know, to fast forward from 2020 to now being the CEO of Create and Cultivate has been obviously a whirlwind of a journey. But, you know, the really like how I got here was, you know, I started going to these events for Create and Cultivate. And one of my biggest goals was to speak on stage. I was like, this is the biggest goal that I'll ever have. And that's so I can be a speaker at Create and Cultivate. And I wrote it down and I ended up doing the work to get there, which is like why I think it's really important is that sometimes we like just try to manifest without actually doing the work.
Seriously.
You know, and it's like, so I was traveling. I traveled to LA, to Austin, any event that Create and Cultivate had, I attended and I tried to really like put myself out there. And so long story short, I ended up speaking on Create and Cultivate. And then I was like, okay, well, I reached that goal. Like now what? And I'm a big believer that you like can't dream. You can only dream as big as you believe in yourself. And also you can only dream as big as like, you know, is possible. And so to kind of put yourself in environments that are really like forces you to expand. And so, and that's what I did. I like started really going into rooms in around people that were, you know, had exited their business and they were like 1,000 steps ahead of me because I felt like if I can feel like I can belong here, I'll be more comfortable in these scenarios. And so I ended up, you know, meeting Jacqueline Johnson, who is the founder of Create and Cultivate, and just like connecting with her. I had a friend that connected me with the talent team. And so just tried to stay in the loop. And, you know, to answer your question of how this happened, you're going to die. I think it's like the wildest thing. I was driving one day and I had this like random thought of what if I created a mastermind with Jacqueline Johnson? Now, obviously, I mean, you come from the coaching world, and I know obviously you had a corporate background as well, but I felt like all of the masterminds that I was joining were all led by other amazing, amazing coaches. And what I wanted to do is start a mastermind that was led by like these massive entrepreneurs, right? Yeah. The entrepreneurs that have built and exited their businesses for hundreds of millions of dollars. And so I DM'd Jacqueline and I said, hey, would you be interested in starting a mastermind? Here's my expertise. Here's what I've been doing. And she's like, hell yeah. Also, Allie Webb, who's the founder of Drybar, is also interested. And I was like, are you kidding? And I was like, hell yeah, let's do it. And so we ended up starting the mastermind, and at the same time, we had the opportunity to buy Create and Cultivate. And Jacqueline was like, if I do this, will you do it with me? Like, that's the only way I'm going to be able to do it. And will you operate as the CEO? And I was like, yes, I will 100%.
Okay. Holy shit. Right. Sorry if you're listening into this and you have a toddler in the background, but they're going to hear it on the playground anyway, because it's so wild about like calling your shot on something. And because like how many times, like I even think about this, like when Jamie Kern Lima came and spoke at our first Empower Her Live event, it was because I DM'd her team and asked if they would donate books. I'm like, what's the worst that they say? No. And then they reach out and they're like, she wants to speak, fly in, waive her keynote fee, surprise everyone because she believes in you. I was like, what the F? But I didn't expect that that was going to happen. Just like you probably didn't expect that this, you could have never expected this would turn into you being the CEO of a company that you've looked up to for so many years. So I think there's a lot of power in this. One, that I want to break down and make sure everyone's resonating, like call your effing shot on something. But number two is you weren't waiting around for an invitation for someone to invite you to be part of something. You were creating that yourself and you were doing the work on the side to get yourself so that you could position yourself to be part of something else. So what did that look like behind closed doors? Obviously, you're attending these events because for people, you know, I know you explained Create and Cultivate, but for people that don't know, like this is one of the OG type of like women's communities. And it is really different from even like for people listening in that have gone to like my events or other personal development events. This is not people that are necessarily just coaches and speakers. They're actual like hardcore entrepreneurs. And I think there's something so expansive around being around someone that can casually say, you know, I sold my company for $100 million, because then all of a sudden your goal of making $100,000 or $1 million a year is like, oh, if she can do that, I can too, right? Yeah. So to the actual question of this, because I'm just so obsessed with like your willingness to just call your shot, what did it look like as you're attending these events and you're thinking like, I want to be part of this, what are you doing on the side to build up your skill set and also to build up your confidence that one day you could like be on stages with these women and then
you know, I guess, you know, be a CEO of this company.
Yeah. I mean, being a CEO was truly never an option. Like in my brain, that was, I didn't even know that was a thing. And so you talked a little bit about the skills first and then the confidence, but I will tell you the confidence was one of the things that I struggled the most with. Although I come off as a very, like, I'm an extrovert, but I am an introvert. I get crippling anxiety when it comes to networking events, especially women networking events. I don't know what it is, but it just gets me so nervous. Coincidentally, every Create and Cultivate event I've ever gone to, I've gone alone. Every single person I've ever met at Create and Cultivate attended alone. And so that kind of just tells you a little bit about the community and kind of like the dynamic of it and how like welcoming it is. But so to get to that point, my husband would always say, like, because I'd be like, oh, I can't go. Like, I'm just so nervous. I already bought my ticket. I bought my flight. I'm going, you know, literally flying from Boston to LA to go to this event. And he's like, just pick five people, meet five people. Once you meet those five people, then you can leave the event. 9 times out of 10, once I meet the five people, I've made like my little buddies, my friends at the event. And so I'll stay longer. And so, you know, to get to build my confidence, it was a lot of like doing these like actual, like tangible things of like, find five people, go. I also, another tip of like networking is ask them about themselves and less about you, because then it like really like, again, puts the energy on them and allows them to talk about themselves. And so from a skill perspective, you know, it really had to go back to thinking of like, I belong in this room because of X, Y, and Z. You know, like I went to college, I got my degree. I was like thinking about the tangible things, but then I started thinking of like, I just belong in this room, period. I don't need a reason to be in this room. I belong in this room because I want to be. And I think that, and I've noticed this more, but like we need, and we do need proof to build confidence. I do believe that, but like, we are enough just because we are, like, period. And if we can bring that energy into that room, not only will you feel expansive and like expanded, but you'll also find other women that you have idolized feeling the same insecurities or fear or imposter syndrome that you do. And I think that's the disconnect is most people think like, oh, this person sold her business for $200,000. She doesn't ever go through like lack of confidence, but it's like, wait a minute. She actually probably goes through the most lack of confidence and like, you know, fear. And so that was one of the things out of all the skills and all of that stuff. I just had to remind myself that every single person in this room is feeling exactly how I'm feeling. And that's great because I'm not alone.
So good. Oh my God. That's like, that is a back 30, replay that again, if you're scared to like get in the room and physically do that, because like you come in with a tactical piece of like meet five people. So like you can measure that. It's kind of like when you're doing a workout where sometimes it's like, okay, I'm just going to do this workout for 5 minutes. And then after 5 minutes, it's like, well, F, I'm already in, I'm just going to keep going. Right. But like you do get to keep that tiny little promise to yourself that is manageable, as in like, I can meet five people. That's not like I'm going to go meet every single person in this room. So you can build up that confidence by keeping those little promises to yourself. So let's talk about what happened from an emotional, mental perspective when Jacqueline, who was the original founder of Create and Cultivate, comes to you for, just for context for people. She says like, Marina, do you want to be the CEO of this and like buy this? What are the, like, tell us this, the thoughts that maybe you wouldn't be excited to have like on a bubble on top of your head that came through your mind that weren't just the excitement thoughts. Like what came up?
Yeah. So for me, what's really funny is originally, I'll tell you, I had more emotions starting out the blueprint than I did being the CEO of Create and Cultivate, mainly because I had a shift and I said, like, I want to be careful saying this because I don't want anybody to translate it differently, but I had invested in masterminds and retreats so long and like coaches. And I had this like aha moment of, I don't want to just be the student anymore. I want to step on the other side and be the teacher. I want to be on stage and speak. And that I think is really what allowed me to get to this point, because I shifted from like, I knew when I outgrew the room. And so that's the most important thing. If like you're listening to this, is just kind of take like an audit of the rooms and the people that you're around and try to figure out like, have you outgrown that or not? And so for me, and I think that's an uncomfortable like conversation to have with yourself. Yeah. Like for me, I outgrew the rooms that I was in. And so when I messaged Jacqueline and I said, hey, my word for word is, hey, I have a crazy idea and I'm going to send it to you before I talk myself out of it. Have you ever started a mastermind? So then Fast forward, all I'm thinking about is I have to make sure this mastermind is the best mastermind ever. And so I operated the business. I did the onboarding. I mean, built the whole entire mastermind. I was never doing it with the intention of maybe I'll be the CEO of Crave.
Right.
And so that kind of goes back to what I would love people to remember is try to focus on what it is that you're doing and try to do it as like best as possible and just knock it out of the park and be as authentic as yourself, okay? Like as you can possibly be. Because any other opportunity that comes is going to be based off of the authenticity that you are leading with. And so yeah. To answer your question of how I was feeling. And so in October, I was flying back from the Blueprint Mastermind. It was our first 2-day in person. I'll never forget this. I was on the flight, my seat is reclined back, and when you have your AirPods in and they read your text to you, it'll say like message from Jacqueline Johnson, and then it reads the text and it said, "Hey, I have this crazy idea. Would you buy Create and Cultivate with me and would you operate the CEO?" And then I'm trying to recline my seat quickly back up because I'm like, what did she just say? And so the emotions that I went through is one, I couldn't believe that I just had to be myself and like just show up as who I was to be able to have an opportunity like this. Like I didn't have to pretend to be anybody else. It was just me. And so that was like a wave of emotion that I felt before the fear stepped in and before the, oh my God, like, am I going to be able to do, like, I never really had those feelings of like, am I going to be able to do this? I just kind of felt like, holy shit, this is insane. And I obviously had a bunch of questions. And so that was kind of like the wave of like, wow, I'm really even so I'm so proud and privileged and like just grateful to have this opportunity. And then once I got the business, that was when I was like, oh shit, like I know this is crazy. But that was the initial feelings for sure.
I love that too, because I think like what you even touched on of like knowing when you're outgrowing rooms, that can be so uncomfortable in itself, right? Where like, you know, because I believe we become a byproduct of the, like our peer group, right? The beliefs that they have, the standards that they have, like what they believe is possible even. And so it's hard when you feel like you're the one that's constantly pouring into other people, not because they're not at the same level as you, but because you just think differently. And like, what does that feel like? Because there's a lot of women that are listening into this episode right now that the people that they hang out with on a regular basis, like their friends from college or from high school, or they're like just the people that are around them, they know that they're the most ambitious one of their friend group and they feel so uncomfortable about it. Like, what advice would you give from a perspective of like how to manage that? Because it does feel really scary sometimes when you're like, crap, these are all of my closest girlfriends and I feel like I'm the crazy one. What do I do?
Yeah. And, you know, outgrowing, and I would love to kind of reframe the mindset around that. Outgrowing doesn't mean that you're better than anybody else. Right. It doesn't mean that like you don't need to talk to them anymore or that you can't be in those rooms anymore. What outgrowing means is that that room and the knowledge that's shared and the resources that are there are not serving your bigger goal and not serving the direction that you want to go in. Maybe some of those people in that room have also outgrown their room, but they're not ready to step out of it. And so really understanding that like it is not a reflection of them. It's a reflection of you and the direction that you're going in. And so when you're thinking, have I outgrown this room? It's like, maybe the answer is no, not yet. I actually, I can get a little bit more out of this. If it's yes, it's like, okay, well, what do I need that is no longer in here? Is it conversations that I don't have access to? Is it people that I don't have access to? Is it opportunities that I don't have access to? Is figuring out what it is that you need and where you're trying to go? Because I feel like sometimes when we say outgrow the room, it's like, oh, like I'm too good to be in that room. Yeah. And that is nothing. It's not that at all. And I think that's an important thing is if you can just take the shame and the guilt and the emotion out of it and really focus very strategically of like, I've outgrown this room because I need to be around people that do this so I can get to this place. That's that kind of will give you the confidence. I lead with data. Like I need data. I'm type A, like I need facts. And so I can go off of facts of like fact, the people that I need in this room are not here. They're in this room. They're at this event. They're in, you know, whatever, this conversation, and I'm going to be in there. And also on top of that too, like I've talked a lot, and I know earlier we were talking about, you know, exiting and buying and all of that stuff. And you'll see a lot of stats that are like, you know, 2% of venture capital like only go to women and 0.0006% of that go to women of color. And like these numbers are really low. And being an immigrant and a woman of color and, you know, a mom and like all of these things that are quote unquote stacked against me, I realize that sometimes the opportunities are lower because the knowledge isn't shared and yes. There's not access to knowledge. And so I'm in these rooms now and the conversations that I'm having have never been had in the other rooms that I was in. And I'm like, wait, why? You know, yeah. And it's just a completely different world. So that's why I say it's really important to know when you've outgrown the room.
Yes. I love the way that you frame that. And I do think it is really interesting because, you know, you and I have talked about this even recently with what Sina and I are doing in real estate. I've gone to so many events where a lot of people in real estate are like older white men, or it's all men. I'm like, where are the like women in this room first and foremost, right? Where are like the new moms in this room? Where like, sometimes it's like, it's also this like feeling that I've always had, and I feel like you'll be able to resonate with this, where sometimes if you're not seeing things represented the way that you think it should, and it's kind of bugging you, it's because you're supposed to be the representation. Mm-hmm. So for you being like immigrant, being a, like a woman who's also a mom, like you're supposed to create this, you're supposed to have these conversations. And for anyone listening in, if you're noticing, it's not about outgrowing it. And the way that you framed this, Marina, was beautiful, but like, you're not better than, or anything like that, than the rooms that you're in. But if something's bothering you, I think if you're noticing that problem, it's because you have to go fix it. So you can also inspire other people to do that too.
Girl, I hope you're loving this conversation with Marina. I just wanted to pop in here and make sure that you're familiar with a company that I'm obsessed with, or maybe you've heard me talk about them, but you haven't tried them yet. I want to give you a little nudge in the right direction to try ClearStim. If you don't know what I'm talking about, this is a company that has a skincare line that I've been using since 2018. I'm literally obsessed with this line because it's non-toxic with no hormone disruptors, which I know a lot of you that are in like your baby making season of life, you care a lot about that, or you just care about that in general, but it's also anti-aging and anti-acne. And those two things don't normally come together, especially without the hormone disruptors. And like, I love their cleanser, their scrub, their moisturizer, in particular, their Hydra Berry moisturizer. I put it on at night when I go to bed and then wake up and my skin feels like a soft baby's butt. And like, I literally love it so much. They have Bounce Back, this serum that's like their Botox, but non-toxic serum. They've got eye creams. They have amazing sunscreens. And now they also have a luxury hair care line, literally shampoo and conditioner. But when I say luxury, I mean it because it actually keeps your hair still voluminous. I don't know if you've ever tried like different types of hair care where like they have no toxins, but it just leaves your hair feeling like flat or really like greasy or oily, or like it's like stuck to your face, or I don't know. I just don't like it. This is a luxury hair care line, but it's not going to cause you to break out, which a lot of us get breakouts along your like hairline. And you're like, what is this from? It's probably from your shampoo and conditioner. So you can try ClearStim's now. So honestly, incredible lineup of their skincare and now their hair care products that I'm so excited about. So you can head to clearstemskincare.com. And if you use code Kacia, K-A-C-I-A, you get a sweet discount on all of their products. Of course, as always, I love when you guys DM me. Like ClearStim is the number one company that I get DMs about from those of you that are like, Kacia, thank you so much for recommending this to me. I'm obsessed with these products. I love hearing from you. So always slide into my DMs and let me know what you think of it. But again, you can head to clearstemskincare.com, use code Kacia, K-A-C-I-A, for a sweet discount. Can't wait to hear what you think of their products. And thank you so much, ClearStim, for sponsoring the podcast. Now, without further ado, let's dive back in. So how much of this representation aspect of this is a fuel source for you with all of these things that you just checked that are quote unquote stacked against you from the way that society explains it? Like, how much of that is your fuel source? Because there are women listening into this that are saying, I'm a mom, so I can't do that. She's doing that because she's not a mom. Or I'm a woman of color and I never see anyone that looks like me that's doing this. Or I don't have XYZ background, so I could never do that. Like, walk us through like what's your fuel source and how that like manifests for you, I guess.
Yeah. So it's twofold. There are times that I do feel really inspired by it. And I'm like, wow. And you said it beautifully, but I'm like, wow, I can't believe when we first launched Create and Cultivate, my PR team was asking like, what do you want to talk about? And I was like, you know, I want to talk about the fact that when I think about why my parents brought me here from Egypt as a, you know, a little girl, I'm like, this is why. For me to be able to have the opportunity to buy a company and operate as a CEO. And I'm like, what? Like, this is crazy. I'm like, you know, my parent, like, this is exactly why they brought me here. On the flip side, it does get really overwhelming. And, you know, we talked a little bit about like the feelings of coming up, but like one of the first events that I ever went to as the CEO of Create and Cultivate was a VC event in LA. And it was, I was prepping beforehand as Jacqueline and I were going, and she's like, okay, it's going to be a bunch of investors, and I was like, oh my God, like what? I walk in and it is all white men, and it's like sprinkled in some women in there. And when I tell you I got the most crippling anxiety, I couldn't even speak. Now, Jacqueline, if you've ever spoken to her, she's a beast. Like she's just like, bam, 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 she go off. She can talk to anybody. And she's been doing this for years. Yeah. And although I've been a working professional for years, I have never operated at this scale. And so I was like, oh my God, like I felt so anxious. And so I remember Jacqueline, she's talking to, this happened twice. She was talking to this one guy and she's like, oh, this is what I do. Da, da, da. Marina, tell them about Create and Cultivate. She turns to me. I look. Nothing comes out. I literally can't process what Create and Cultivate. I can't speak. I'm like, I just had like a glitch in my brain. Like I literally, I was like, I can't. And that was the first time that I really felt out of place to the point where it wasn't fuel. It really like it crippled me. Yeah. And so after the second time it happened, I was like, we gotta go. Like we gotta go. I'm not doing well in this scenario. I gotta go. And I remember leaving, I had like a really rough night sleeping. And I remember waking up hysterically crying. And I actually sat there in my notepad and I wrote down all of the reasons why I deserve the position that I'm in and why I've also earned the position that I'm in. And so going back to kind of what we touched on earlier of like sometimes needing proof, I needed proof that I've, you know, excelled in my professional career. I needed proof that I'm an empathetic person. I needed proof that like I can do this and here's why. And so sometimes you just need to maybe have a really shitty moment like that. And then on the other side, you need to write down why you also qualify, because being a woman of color, being an immigrant, being having English being my second language, being a mom, like none of that is a hindrance. If anything, it actually makes me a better candidate for this position.
Like F yes. I love that, because I do think like it's so important for us to talk about those moments where like, and sometimes I talk on the podcast about the moments where you want to just like quit your business and move to a deserted island and like work on a tiki hut and like sell coconuts or something. You're like, fuck it, I'm all done. And those moments are important too, because that's when you also get to see like, do I want this bad enough? And am I willing to do the thing where like I'm sitting, I can just picture you like sitting in your bed in a hotel room in the note section of your phone or like in a journal, just like writing down like, okay, these are the reasons why I deserve it. Like you have to be on your own team. And I think that's so important for all of us to hear from someone that, yes, like on paper, everything looks awesome, but it's also like you're still a human, like anyone at any level or anyone that talks to me about like, how do you feel, Keisha, when you're doing XYZ? It's like, I still have to pep talk myself, like to make sure that I feel like I'm confident enough to like go into that room or call my shot on that thing. So when you're having those moments of doubt, is like the tactical thing that you go to, like generating a list of like quote unquote proof like that, is that like your go-to, or what's your go-to like pep talk to get yourself when you just feel like, F, I don't know if I can handle this, whatever.
Yeah. It's so one, communication's a big thing for me. So I have to vocalize how I'm feeling. And sometimes it's hard for me to vocalize it to other people. And so I actually do two things. And one of them, and I don't know if like other people do this, but sometimes when I'm driving is really when I get the most downloads and when I feel like I have so much to say. And so I will do a talk to text in my notepad and I'm actually like vocalizing how I'm feeling. And I'm just like talking out loud and I put it in a notepad and it's kind of like my journal prompt of like how I'm feeling and why I felt really overwhelmed and like why I felt like I couldn't introduce myself. And I literally have this like dialogue conversation with myself in a notepad. So that's kind of one way for me to just release everything that I'm thinking and saying it out loud. I can then vocalize it with my friends or, you know, my girlfriends, my husband, anything like that. But for me, it really, really helps me to just take a second and I write it down, whether it's paper, pen, or on my iPhone notepad, and just writing, like, it's not even just about proof. It's of like proof I'm good enough. It's just like facts that I could just go back and be like, oh, this is what I've done. Because I say this to say, if we want to continue expanding, if we want to go into these larger rooms, that feeling isn't going to go away. It's actually probably going to come up more often than not. And so being able to just have this list where you could go back, or for me, even a perfect example of that, after I had my meltdown and I glitched out and I wrote my list on the flight home, I actually wrote what I like moving forward, what I would say. If someone was like, you know, which is funny because in the event I walked in, they're like, are you a founder or a funder? And I was like, what? Like, what about hello? Hi, I'm, you know, like, why so aggressive, you know? And so I was like, next time someone asks me that, here is how I'm going to answer it. I was a former founder and now I'm an entrepreneur that I own, you know, this is how I'm going to say it. And so I thought back to the questions that triggered me or maybe were harder. And I literally wrote down the answer. If someone asks me what Create and Cultivate is, here is my one sentence. If someone asks me what I do, here is my one sentence. And I practiced that. And that to me has helped me so much.
Yes. And anyone listening into this, it's like, even if you just started a business one day ago, or you started a podcast, like I talk about this often where people are like, how'd you get Empower Her to 10 million plus downloads? It's like, well, I led with it before it was a real thing. And I practiced like how I was going to say this, where I would say like, oh, do you listen to podcasts? This is what it's all about. And it's so simple. Like, I love that you like, it framed it that way of like, what's the one sentence of what is Create and Cultivate? What's the one sentence of who am I? Because we make it so complicated where we feel like we have to word vomit like a 90-second answer into someone, but nobody wants a 90-second answer. We want it short, concise, packaged, and you just building up the confidence through the reps of saying it. Because now I'm sure if you go into a room, you might have what I love that you described as a glitch, because that's also very forgiving to yourself. Like, you know, sometimes when we're like, oh, I quote unquote messed up or I sucked at this, it's like glitch feels like, okay, like now I'm back in the game, right? Which I love. And so it's like now when you go back into those rooms, there's a possibility that you, because you're a human and not a freaking robot, that you might have a glitch moment for anything that could come up, but you have all these tools in your toolbox of like all these one-liners and you've said it more and more times. So you just build up the confidence with reps. And I think sometimes we don't give ourselves grace to have a very simple solution. We make it so complicated. And then behind closed doors, we tell ourselves that we're not capable. And it's like, oh, good for her, but I can never do that. It's like anyone listening into this, you can do whatever the hell you set your mind to, but you have to be willing to put the work in, like you said, that doesn't necessarily even have to be so complicated. You know what I mean?
And you know what I realized why I had the glitch is because I wasn't focused on the actual question and I wasn't thinking about me and how I want to answer it. I was actually more focused on how I was going to measure up and compare to everybody else in this room. I had already believed a story that I told in my head that I was not good enough, that I was not deserving to be in this room, that I was not big enough. And so anything that was going to come out of my mouth was going to be like word vomit because I was trying to overcompensate when I didn't need to. Like I could have very much just answered the question of like what Create and Cultivate is and who I am, because that's good enough and it's amazing. Yes. And so that to us, like to me, I feel like more people just need to realize the glitches happen, the word vomit, the anxiety, all of that stuff is because we've already created this, formulated the story in our head that we don't belong, that we're not big enough, that we're comparing ourselves to everybody else. Yeah. And it's over if that's what you're going in, because all you're thinking about is everybody else in the room.
Yeah. Same rules apply for those that are like speaking on stages, where when you're so worried about what everyone in the audience thinks of you, like good luck getting anything to come out. But when you're like, it's not about me, it's about adding value, it takes so much pressure and it's like off your shoulders essentially, you know, and it's easier said than done. But again, like with practice, like you just get more comfortable where like now you can say, you know, in a conversation like this, where you're like, I know that I'm good enough. I know that I'm worthy. And I also know every single person listening into this, whether you believe it for yourself or not, borrow belief from us that like, yes, you are worthy of it. You just have to build up your confidence to actually know that intuitively. Then you can do whatever it is that you set your mind to, things that you probably couldn't even envision, you know, which is so cool. Okay. So let's talk about like expansion of your mindset in general, where sometimes like we have this cap on what we believe is possible. And you can use this with Create and Cultivate or with you as an individual, health and fitness goals. How good could your marriage be? How amazing can your friendships be? How much money could be in your bank account? The impact you can make, whatever. We like put this lid, right, on what we think is possible. How are you getting yourself to like open up and like really like shoot for even bigger than you thought was possible? Because now you're in this role where you're a CEO and like you're in this visionary type role too alongside of Jacqueline, but then you have all these other aspects of your life that you're doing this. Tell us how you're doing it.
Yeah. So for me, this was like another aha moment is for me to get to the next level, I need to know that I need to be comfortable with that the next level is going to be new. I'm not going to know what to expect. I don't know what's coming up and I don't know what I don't know. And so sometimes for us, the reason why we create the lid is because we know we're very comfortable and we're like, well, I can't get to this other side of the lid because I don't know how to get there. And I think that if anybody is listening, to just remember that that's the point. You're not supposed to know everything. You're not supposed to know how to do everything. How I get past that lid is I believe to my core, and this could be a little bit of delusion and a little bit of fact, but like I can figure out anything. I can figure it out. We are so privileged. We have so much access to resource and knowledge and data and people that is, if we can just remember that, like if you don't know it, you can figure it out. Yeah. That's going to help you open up that lid because you're like, okay, well, I don't know how to do this one thing, but I'll figure it out. Right. Yeah. Like, As an entrepreneur, as a solopreneur, I wasn't doing all of the P&Ls and budget planning and like everything that I'm doing now. And I'm like, not that I didn't know how to do it. I just didn't do it at scale like that. Yeah. Now I do. And so just to give yourself that, you know, that permission to be new at something, be uncomfortable and to figure it out along the way, that's what's going to allow you to open up that lid and go to that next level.
So good. And again, it's like one of those things that like we have to give ourselves permission to know that like at the beginning of something, when we suck, we don't make that mean that we're going to suck for forever, right? Where it's like, of course, when you're doing something brand new, like especially now, you know, I have a 5-month-old, as you know, and your son is older, but it's like when they're doing something for the first time, you're not going to be like, oh, you tried that once, you sucked. Good luck, little boy. Like go on with your life. Like you're never going to walk or whatever. It's like, it's so simple again, but like we don't give that permission to ourselves. And I just think it's really beautiful the way that you're building yourself up and you're on your own team in your head and you're constantly looking for, is it data? Is it emotions? Is it me just like tapping into like a real hardcore pep talk? Like you're building yourself up. And so many women that listen into this podcast do what I think is really common, where we put our heads on our pillow at the end of the night and we think about all of the things that we didn't get done. And it's like, then we're just digging at our own confidence. We're digging at like what we believe is possible. But at the same time, something we talk about often on this podcast is I have this core belief, like you believe that you can figure anything out. I believe that if you're gifted any vision, you're also gifted the resourcefulness. Like, of course you don't know how, but you are gifted resourcefulness. And so I think that's really beautiful. So
yeah, I was going to say too, why do we think that we would know how to do something that we've never done before?
Right? It actually makes absolutely no sense.
And like, of course you don't know how to do that. Like, of course that's going to be scary. You've never done it before. But once you do it, then you're going to know how to do it. And then that's it. You don't have to worry about not knowing how to do it ever again.
Literally. And it's so funny because it's not only do we expect that we are going to know how to do it, but then we make a story and it ties into our identity of why we don't think we're capable. And then self-confirming bias kicks in and we look for all of the evidence to support that thought to be true. Like all these times that we didn't do something well. And then we look for other people on social media that we think are crushing it. It's like, what the F? And then all of a sudden we're ugly crying on our bathroom floor and our snot mascara is getting together in our mouth. We're choking on our spit and we feel like we're going to puke. It's just like, what? Why? Right?
So I love it.
You get it. It's real. So, okay. Talk to us about, because one of the conversations, especially now that I'm a new mom, I hate that like my husband and I could be interviewed on a podcast and he would never be asked this question, but I will be asked this question. That being said, I do like talking about this topic because it is a common like thing that comes up for moms. How are you managing the fact that you are so ambitious career-wise and you also give like you care so much about how you show up as a mom? What does that look like? And I don't even want to frame it as mom guilt because I don't necessarily think that that's the conversation. It's more like, how are you managing wanting to be in two places at once often?
Yeah. So I have an 8-year-old, his name is Sebastian, and he is truly the most important thing and person in my life, like period. And whatever I do in my life, the only reason why I'm able to fully do it at the capacity that I do with the excellence of how I do it is because I also can be a mom and because I can show up for him. And so that's kind of, you know, whenever I think about, I don't believe in work-life balance, but when I believe in harmony, the more that I can nurture myself as a mom and be able to like receive that love from him, it allows me to be able to pour into my husband, my job, my, all of that stuff. And so, you know, I became a mom very young. I was 23. And I was working at like a terrible sales job in New York. I barely made any money. I moved back from New York, lived with my parents. I was a single mom early on and for him the first year and a half before I met my husband, who now adopted Sebastian. But I had like nothing when I was younger. And I was a mom and I felt like I had everything. And I was like, you know, I have my parents and that's pretty much it. And I have my kid. And so I remember feeling like, oh, if I can do this, I can do anything. And so now fast forward, he's kind of like, he's been with me as I've grown my career professionally. And that actually has been harder now than it was previously. And I had to have this conversation with myself. And I'll answer a little bit of that question that you asked, but like, I had to have a conversation with myself of, I deserve to be in the position that I'm at professionally. I don't have to sacrifice my professional life so I can be a better mom or that I can be a better wife. Like I will be a better mom and better wife if I can like continue to grow professionally, because that's what fuels me as well. And so it's this like balance back and forth of loving the two things that I do. And so being able to, you know, kind of share that load in terms of the workload, it takes a lot of conversation, especially with Matt, my husband, in terms of like, you know, priority of timing and scheduling and all of that stuff. It also takes a lot of hardcore boundary implementation. And that to me is very hard at times to set because, and I know a lot of moms will do this, especially a lot of new moms, is like, you know, you wake up in the morning, you have this quiet time, like you can take it for yourself. You can go work out, you can do, but as an entrepreneur, sometimes you're like, well, I'll just take that time to like open up my computer and work. Yeah. And that's not a bad thing, but like sometimes you really do need to even implement those boundaries with yourself to be like, no, I need to shut off completely so I can have the energy for both aspects of my life. I also, on top of that, I schedule everything out. So every single thing is scheduled. I do drop off in the morning. I do pick up in the afternoon. I am as present as a mom as I could possibly be. I'm at baseball, football, basketball practice. I like do all of that.
Damn, that's going to be my future every Saturday. Just like orange slices and shit like that.
Seb also joined. Yeah, literally. Seb joined a band and he's like, Mom, I have band practice. I'm like, let's ride, baby. Let's go. But truly, it's like if I can block those times off on my calendar, like, hey, no calls after this time. Hey, I'm blocked off here. I don't feel mom guilt. Yeah. However, I will say this, I've been traveling a lot more than ever. And so maybe this podcast has come in like the perfect time to be able for me to be more vulnerable. It has been much harder for me emotionally because of how much travel I have going on. Yeah. And this is a much bigger role than I've ever been in. And so the stakes are also higher. And so I have had to sacrifice more time at home and sacrifice more time with Sebastian and Matt. And so how I kind of change the mindset is I don't feel mom guilt. I just feel like sadness because I miss him when I'm gone. I know I'm not doing anything wrong. I don't feel guilty. It's just sad. And so how I overcome my sadness is I do lots of FaceTime when I'm traveling. Yeah. I make sure everything is ready. Outfits are ready for the week. Lunches and snacks are prepared ahead of time. If there's any like school activities or anything like that, I feel like as long as he's prepared and Matt feels really capable, or if we have help and my parents and stuff like that, as long as I feel like everything is good at home, then I can fully show up at the role that I'm in when I'm not home.
Oh, I think that's such an exhale for some moms that are listening into this right now, of like the way that you worded that is like, let's stop. I just like want to stop with this mom guilt conversation or this perfect balance conversation. Cause like all of us believe, especially as moms, like balance is bullshit. As an entrepreneur and anything that you're juggling together, like you can't always have it perfectly balanced. But the way that you're saying, like, it's just sadness because I remind myself that I know that I'm not doing anything wrong. that is really important for people to hear. And like, maybe again, back 30, listen to that one again, because I do think that like, we need to make sure that we're having that inner dialogue so that we're not telling ourselves a story of I should be doing this, because you never feel like you're in anything. Cause then it's like, oh, I feel like I should be working when I'm with my child. And then, oh, I feel like I should be doing that. Same rules apply if you don't feel like you're giving yourself space for female friendships or time with your family or with your significant other. Apply this to any aspect of your life of like, sometimes I feel sad that I can't prioritize this right now, but this is what I need to do. And I'll go to another chapter in life where I'll prioritize. You know what I mean? It's just like a juggling act. So 100%.
Yeah. And I think for me too, like it just like, it's a reminder that I don't have to do this. I get to do this. Like I am privileged to be able to create my own schedule. I am privileged to be able to pick up my son from school and be like, what do I want to do in the morning before everybody wakes up? Like there are people out there that don't have that privilege to even like make that decision on their own. And I think again, because I grew up with nothing and saw my parents like really sacrifice all of their time to work versus like attending anything for me, I always just lead from like gratitude and privilege of like, I get to do this. And again, we're working so we can build this beautiful life for ourselves and for our family. And if the work you do can also help other people, amazing.
So good. Okay. Wow. I'm just so obsessed with this conversation. I feel like it's going to be so helpful for so many people. And I'm just so excited for you and so proud of you and everything that you're doing. So tell everybody what's going on with Create and Cultivate. Where can they connect with you? Fill us in on the podcast situation, all the things, give us all the juice. What's going on?
Okay. So let's kick off with the podcast. So Jacqueline and I are doing Work Party Together, which is the podcast that she has a book about. And really our whole vision is to have conversations around work and life and entrepreneurship and motherhood and divorce and all of the things, and just have a little bit of work, a little bit of party. And so that is something.
Also, can we just stop for a second? A little bit of work, a little bit of party. Like anyone listening into this podcast, you need another one in your rotation, Work Party. Like the name is just so good too. Cause it's like, yeah, I want to work, but I want to party. I want to shake. I want to twerk. It could be also twerk party, but continue.
Surely, I want to do both. But so for Create and Cultivate, we're really excited. Again, this new era that we're going in is creating experiences for women from launch to legacy, from ideation to exit. So whether you're just starting out, we'll have the summits and the festivals for you. If you're a six-figure founder, we have the six-figure founder retreat waitlist. If you're a seven-figure founder, we have the seven-figure founder retreat. And so we have all of these very intentional experiences to help the businesswoman go from each milestone all the way to her legacy, whatever that legacy means to her. And so you can visit createcultivate.com to see all of the things that are happening. And obviously message me on Instagram. That's kind of where I live.
I love it. I can't wait for all of the women that are really going to resonate with this episode. And I can't wait to hug you. For those of you listening in that are seven-figure founders, I'll be at the seven-figure founder retreat, which is in June in Napa. I literally was like, what are they doing? I want to come to one of their events. I was like, seven-figure founder retreat, Napa, DM'd you, was like, I'm coming, buy my ticket. My husband's like, let's go to Napa. Like, let's go. Cause I'm still breastfeeding too. So we're just going to like bring Brody and I'm just going to like pop in there, like whatever. But I'm so excited for you.
Can I just tell you real quick? And I know we're wrapping, but like you being able to bring Brody to those experiences, that I bring Sebi to everything. Like he'll go on stage with me if I'm speaking. Like we make our own rules, like especially as new moms, like we are setting, you said it earlier of like wanting to see, you know, something that you haven't seen. Like we're creating that story. We're creating this new, you know, vision to society of like our kids can come with us. Our husbands can come with us. Like, this is the best part of just being
literally today. Literally this morning on our walk, my husband, Cena, and I, we were like, this is our family era. Like he's part of this like real estate thing that we're going to. Like I got asked to speak at this other event and we're like, okay, let's just make it a whole family trip. Like when do we want to fly in? Like we're booking our flights and we're like, this is so effing awesome. He used to be a dentist. I used to work at Google. It's like, what? Like we could have never done this. And of course, if that feels aligned for you, then live your best life. But it didn't for us. And it's like, I love your living, breathing permission slip to call your shot and go for it. And I think all of us listening in like need to share our stories, need to go for what we want in life because it's proof of what's possible for other people. So I love you. You're the best. I can't wait to squeeze you. Thank you again so much for your time and being on the show, girl.
Thank you.
Hey. Thank
you so much for listening in. If you love this episode, it would mean so much to me if you shared it with a girlfriend. Like, send it to her right now. Or post it on social media and tag me so I can personally thank you for helping me get the message out. I am so freaking grateful to be on this journey with you, girl. So until next time, I'll talk to you soon.